From the Shepherd House International in Georgetown, Guyana, Bishop Victor Connors Asabre, anointed by God, will inspire you with rare and down-to-earth but provoking teachings from the Word of God, to love the Lord deeply and to devote yourself to His work. Discover how God can change your life and ministry forever. Now, here is Bishop Collins.
Know your invisible enemies. And I think we're looking at how, why demons want to enter into you, isn't it? Did you learn something from there? Demons are always looking for, hello, Nika. Hey, even when they say, I don't feel you at all, what's happening? You are too foul. You should come close often. What do you think? I don't feel you at all. That's my verdict. If you were to ask me, Bishop, what do you think? That's what I think. I don't feel you. I think you've been around very long, isn't it? When this year, I don't feel you at all. You should, you two of you should come for private meeting. What do you think? Eh? Hey. You don't want to come. People want to have a meeting with me, or they can't get it. Eh? Come for a private interview. If you run to him, you'll run to us, isn't it? Okay. Amen. Tonight, I want to continue preaching from this wonderful book. I didn't know that demons, you could write so much over demons. It's fantastic. All we know is that, well, last time we were discussing, you know, what is Obia? And then somebody said, is Obia not everything evil? I said, no. Obia is a type of evil. There are other types. The evil world is a little sophisticated. That's why you cannot be a Christian and not understand how the evil world works. Are you with me? Are you with me tonight?
Yes.
Roger, I see you at the back. Amen. So, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. The Bible says that, for we wrestle not with flesh and blood. If you give me another version, I don't know if you have the Message Bible. If you give me another version, maybe it'll be a little clearer. The Bible says that we wrestle, but not with flesh and blood. What is flesh and blood? Flesh and blood is, in other words, saying we are fighting, but we are not fighting with human beings. Jennifer, it's been a while. Is there any other version you can give me? If I can get it as fast as I like, I'll be very happy. I know I have to wait for scripture. Okay, so another version maybe will say that we do not wrestle with human beings. Right? So flesh and blood is human beings. So when the Bible says that we do not wrestle with flesh and blood, we're talking about not fighting with human beings. Right? In other words, the people or the persons we are fighting with are people or persons we cannot see. So it is very important for Christians to understand this concept, because we are prone to pointing fingers at people. We are prone to making sure that somebody is paying the price for what we are not able to do or what we fail to do. And when it comes to black people like that a lot. We are always shifting the blame onto somebody else. Somebody did this, somebody did that, somebody did this, somebody did that. We never stand up and take up our responsibility and say, you know what, it's me. Honestly, it's me. I'm sorry. I won't do it again. I'm going to change. I'm going to do something else. No, we don't stand up to some of these things. But you see, when you bring that into Christianity, you give the devil a head start. Because what happens is that then the devil now, He glad for you to be loose. He glad for you to lose God. You know, so we do not fight with flesh and blood. The enemies, and you must understand that in your Christian life, we have enemies. I mean, if you don't understand that we have enemies, you're making a joke. You're not serious. And you need to have, what you need to have is you need to have a lot of information about the enemy. You see, anybody who is going to war, those that are serious at war, when they are going to war, they just don't take their guns and they go and fight. They analyze who they are going to fight with. They analyze their weakness. They analyze their strength. Even it's like football. Football. For example, when I was growing up, I don't know what it is now, but when I was growing up in Ghana, as footballers, I used to play football to Colts level. I don't know if you know Colts, like a junior competition. You know, one of the things that we used to do, and many people do in Ghana, in Africa, is that when we are going to play football, before the football match, we pray. Trusting God that God will let us score a goal. Sometimes, people don't pray. We do juju. Or we will call it obia. Yeah. So what we sometimes and people do, and we've heard stories. I mean, growing up in West Africa, Ghana and all this, you hear all kinds of stories. You know, fantastic stories. But some of the stories we've heard is that when you're going to play football, people take broom, you know, the broom, they take the pointer and they break it into the 11 players and then the extra goalkeeper. Pointer broom, yeah. And then they use a black thread and they tie it. And they put it in fire. We bind. It means that we are binding all the players. And the goalkeeper. It means that when we start playing the football, when we start playing the football, the people just stand like that. Then you just go and score the goal and you win the match. Meanwhile, if you come to Europe where they play better football, where they talk about a lot of money and big things in football, they watch videos. They don't do no chanting, no obia, no prayer, no singing of praise. They come and see footballers going to play football. They are singing hallelujah, hallelujah. It's like God should come and score a goal for them. The bus is shaking with gospel music. People are singing, people are rejoicing. It's like it's the devil we are going to fight. Meanwhile, when you go to England, the Premier League, you go to Spain, La Liga, people are training. People are going to the football field every day. They're watching videos. They are practicing how to kick the ball. You know, these Messi guys, they put images and then the free kick. They practice free kicks. And when the real thing comes, when he gets a free kick, all that he wants is a free kick. Once he gets a free kick, then he remembers what he has been doing. He will kick the ball straight into the pole without any obia, no gospel, no God, nothing. No, nothing. It's just practice. No pointer broom. We've heard stories of people said, I think there was, I don't know, this was probably very interesting. One of the goalkeepers during one of these finals of some very heated competition, this goalkeeper said that, you know, this when the football was, when somebody kicked the ball, I mean, dribbling, 18, the penalty box, they hit the ball. I hear the goalkeeper said he saw the ball like a lion coming to him. That's when the obia works. So then he ran out of the pole. We leave the pole going and the ball just get to the pole. And everybody said, yeah! He said, you know, people don't know what I'm saying. The guy see a lion rushing at him whilst you are watching the football coming to him. And everybody's wondering why the goalkeeper left the post like that. As a lion is running to him, so he had to find a place to take cover. You get it? Yeah. You have to understand it. So we don't play football with obia. You see, on the edge in the football, they do this, they do sign of a cross. Okay, so this is a football there. It's where you have to play the football. But when it comes to Christianity, you have to be very careful. Yeah. We learned that demons want to enter into people because they don't like dry places. The Bible says when a demon leaves somebody, he goes into the wilderness, he goes to dry places, and then he comes back. Nobody wants to be homeless. No, we're kidding demons. Huh? Nobody wants to be homeless. So the demons don't want to stay out of anybody's body. So they want to have bodies to stay inside. And they are looking for your body. But they will not get a chance to your body in Jesus' name. And it's not me by me saying it to you. It's you by also watching. And you can say, amen. And then you see that they are more wicked than your amen you are saying. So tonight, I want to talk about symptoms of demonic presence. Symptoms of demon presence. When there's a demon around, what are the signs? Yeah. Bishop says maybe in West Africa or in the tropics, if you encounter somebody who has headache, high temperature, is feeling cold when the sun is hot, he says you are likely to discover that the malaria, the plasmodium parasites are inside somebody's bloodstream. A female Anopheles mosquito has taken somebody for lunch and he has injected Anopheles, a plasmodium parasite. So they are into the person's system. It causes headaches, it causes high fever. Even when the weather is so hot, the person is feeling so cold.
Shivering.
There are signs that something is around. And if you've lived in Ghana before, you understand what I'm talking about. You will experience it almost every year or every other year. Yeah. 2 times a year. That's a normal dosage of malaria. You know, in a similar way, how do you know that there's a demon around? It's very important to know. What has happened is that many people like to say, this is demonic, this is devils, this is it. But they actually don't know why they are saying that. And instead of going to play football and pray and say, Lord, let me score a goal, when the goalkeeper has strength to catch balls, why should God go and move the goalkeeper and let you kick the ball and score a goal? So instead of saying, this thing is demonic, and sometimes people do that to ask pastors. They will call you and say, Pastor, I need prayers. You say, oh, what do you need prayers for? He said, I believe that demons, there are some demons in my life. How do you know there are demons in your life? Yeah. And somebody said, if you know there are demons in your life, then why don't you just get rid of them? Once you know the problem, why don't you just find a solution and end it? Why do you need a pastor to come into your problems? So what are some of the symptoms of demon presence? I'm sure that there are demons in some of us, our homes, in our areas, and the places where we live. But how do you know that demons are here? Because they are invisible. You can't see them. They are things. They are signs. Let me tell you. Signs are one of the most crucial things any human being, any profession, in most of the... You see, you have to look out for signs. Now, so when I say, for example, if you find somebody in the church and you like the person, let me know. Most of the time, we Guyanese think that the man won't mind me business. Hey, you glad for the man to mind your business? You glad? Are you with me? I know why I'm saying that, even if you don't know why I'm saying that. And I say it, I've said it several times. I've said it, if you've not heard me say it before. I say that when people are playing cricket and there are people are giving commentary, the people who help in the commentary, giving of the commentary, are experienced cricketers who have actually retired. Yes, 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 yes. They don't come and take you, who think you know cricket, to give commentary. True, how many understand what I'm trying to say? Anytime people are doing something in this world, they look for experts. You can sit in front of a TV and say, look at how they look at how this guy bowling. And these people, but this person, this, but you have never even been selected for National Guyana before. You have never been selected before. With all your knowledge and wisdom, you have never even written a cricket book. Why don't you keep your mouth shut and sit down and just watch the TV? Ah, even in your school, you never qualified, they never selected you. Calvin, they never selected you. Yeah. No, until you understand these things, you will not learn to respect people who have specialized in certain things. And we are so hypocritical because when it comes to, let's say, medicine, for example, when you are sick, you want to go to a doctor. You want to go to a good doctor. But when it comes to the church, you don't want to listen to what the pastor is saying. When the pastor has pastored as long as you were born. Kisha, how are you? I mean, you're 16 years old, now. You know where I was when I was 16. 16 years ago, that's when I was trying to come to Guyana even. I was a big man. So now if I say something to you about life, don't tell me that me don't understand what you're talking about. So I'm saying that, and that's what I say normally in the church. I say, if you like somebody in the church, just check it with me. Because before I realize, you are the number four. Number six. Yeah, somebody said number six. Yeah. Jesus told the woman, you have had five. The one that you are carrying is not even your husband. Jesus knew it. You don't know who is saying they like you. So the man of God, the pastor is saying that when somebody tells you that, you just come and say it. You won't mind your business. You're glad for me mind your business. I'm talking about know your invisible enemies. So sometimes people come in the church like that. They come in the guise of, oh, this, and then they begin to talk to the girls, and the girls feel so flattered because nobody has ever said they like them before. Yeah. If only you know where the guy lives. Some of these guys, yeah, Nicholas, wake him up. Souvenir, hello. He's got power. Some of these guys, okay, leave him, let him sleep. Tell him good night. Okay, some of these guys, they sleep in the same room with their mothers. Yeah, same bed. And I'm not talking about 3-4 year old boys, so. I'm talking about the 19, 20, 25 year old boy who is saying they like you. They sleep in the same room on the bed with their mother. They're fighting for pillow in the night. One pillow, one bed sheet cover. And when he comes out to the church, he says he like you. And then you two, you are flabbergasted. Maybe if you bring it up, if you say it, we'll tell you that, huh? You know it's who? You know why? Yeah. I was telling one of my church members, I said, you think you are a scamp. We are the ones who monitor the scamps. Oh my boys, I said, you think you are 005? I said, we run the 00s. the MI5. We run Scotland Yard. We run Scotland Yard. We know all the 00s. You are just number 5. The 7 is even wilder than you. I said, don't try me at all. And when I ask you something, don't try and go here and pass here. Say something, the thing straight. Hallelujah. Amen. So science. It's only science that will help us to know that this thing is here. I don't know if you're following what I'm trying to say. When the thing is invisible, you will not see it. But so you need a sign. You need to be a little sensitive. You need to understand certain things so that when that particular thing is around, you see, if you have rats or mice in your house, there's a sign. Yes, signs. Your shoe will be one of the signs. Or you see these pellets. These small black pellets. It tells you that somebody is living in your drawer. Your drawer. When you bring out your drawer, some animal lives there too. Yeah.
Oh my God.
And when you see one, you should know that there's a family. Jesus said this. He said, and they asked him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be? And what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? Signs. The doctors will tell you, when you go and see them and you say this, you know what you're talking about. So when I pee-pee, I go there about 10 minutes later, I see ants on my pee-pee enjoying. Hey! There's too much sugar in your pee-pee. They will tell you what is wrong with you. So when you see ants in your toilet bowl, what are they doing there? It's a sign that what you are putting inside the toilet bowl has something that the ants are looking for. It's a very dangerous sign. In the same way, what are the signs that there is a demonic or an evil presence around here? Number one. Lying and deception. Lying and deception. Lying and deception. So just as you see the pellets, and you see that there's a rat, there's a mouse. Jerry is here. Let me go look for Tom. I like Tom and Jerry, especially the heaven one. The one that Tom went to heaven at the gates of heaven. The angel at the gate said, nah. Nah, you can't come here. You have been very wicked to Tom, to Jerry. So go back. Otherwise, you go to hell. Tom came back to earth. Hey, come and see show. Born again cat. Giving Jerry all the nice things. And come and see how Jerry's showing up. He want no cheese no more. And then, you know, Tom will get very mad. When he get mad, then boom, he sees a demon coming to him and says, ho, ho. These people who do cartoons, they are very powerful, I tell you. Lying and deception. When you see people lying, you should know who is around. John 8:44, the Bible says that the devil or Satan is the father of lies. And when he speaks a lie, he speaketh his language. John 8:44. You are of your father, the devil, And the last of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. So when you see people lying, when you see people trying to portray something that is not, immediately you should see Satan around. A lie is a lie. Half truths are also lies. We like to do the half truths. We tell part and leave the part that really proves that it's a lie that you're saying. People lie all over. Christians lie. If you're Christian, some Christians like lying bad. I tell you. So when you see lying, you see people trying to. You know, sometimes in the church, you see a boy and a girl walking together. Say, "What's going on?" It's, "Oh, we are just friends." Satan. Yeah, we're just friends. Yeah. Hey, so all the friends around, you didn't take anybody as friend. This is your friend. Yeah, special friend. When you ask, they don't tell the truth. When you see them together, then it's, "Oh, no, I get some phone he gave me to fix for him." And you become a phone repairer now. I had the phone and I was going to give the phone to him. And this and that. You see, you are lying and you are trying to cover up. You are trying to deceive people. It's the presence of devils. We don't have to see the devil before we believe that the devil is you. When you lie and when you try, he is the one, the Bible says, he deceives the whole world. He's a specialist at deceiving, appearing in a way that is not real. Yeah, let your yes be yes, let your no be no. When we see you, let us get what we see. Not that you are like this, and then you're like the other way too. Do you know somebody like that? Oh, you are like that. You know somebody who's like that? You know somebody? Lies. Lies. Hallelujah. Oh, I said hallelujah. So that's the first symptom of demon presence. Because you hardly see the devil. Even if you see the devil, you don't even know that you've seen the devil. But the reason, the sign that you are in it. You see, there are there are some people, or there are some countries, and there are some races that lie. They just specialize in lying. You know what? Today we're trying to share a joke. And the joke is that there's this little boy who was praying for his father. Right. Yeah, it was very nice prayer. The boy was praying. And his prayer was about his father's friends. He saw that his father has some naked woman friends. So he went on his knees and prayed to God that God will help his father's friends and give them some clothes. He sees that he sees on his father's computer, he sees these naked friends that the father has. So he went to his knees and said, Lord, please help these friends of my dad. They are so poor, they don't have clothes to wear. A nice Christian boy. Provide some dress for them, Lord Jesus. Next time when I see them, I'll see that they are dressed nicely. They might be feeling cold, they'll die from cold. May we have sons like that. So I told Pastor Calvin that this guy looks like Jeremiah. A guy is chubby and his face. I said, oh, this guy looks like Jeremiah. Pastor Calvin said, Bishop, them children, they mind people business too much, you know. He ran through my phone looking at my friends. I don't know where people get these things from, I tell you. Yeah, it's too much. It's too much. Some people can sit down and they create all these fantastic things. Yeah. But back to the subject. In the country where we lived, you know, we lived in Europe for a few years. And if you want to get through anything, you have to lie. Yeah, that it's a lying system. If you don't lie, you will not get anything. Yeah. I mean, the way I even got my staying permit, God, when I look back, I see God has been very good to me. God laughs me. I don't know about you, but I mean, I can feel the laugh. Because I went to Europe to continue my education. And then, you know, when you are there, you need a staying permit to live in the country. You get staying permits by marrying, by marriage, or if you are a refugee. Those are the only ways you can get a staying permit. So people come from our place and they come to the place and they say that Saddam Hussein is their uncle. You see, that's why I say that. You see, here in Ghana, we are not desperate. We're living good. Guyanese are not punishing, man. You see an African go and hide in a ship that is going to Italy or Spain, and it goes to hide in the engine, hot. Hide in the engine for days, for weeks. Nothing to eat, starving. He gets to Europe. And then the white man takes him and they say, oh, look at the poor African boy. They take him and they take care of him. They give him a place to stay. They say, what's your name? He said, my name is Salah Hussein. Salah Hussein. They say, hey, where are you from? He said, I'm from Iraq. They said, what are you doing here? I said, oh, my uncle is Salah Hussein. They are looking for me to kill me. I said, I had to hide in this boat. The guy, he doesn't even know nothing about Saddam Hussein. But you see, when you say that, then the white man feels for you. He puts you up in a nice apartment, gives you money at the end of the month, furnishes the house for you, and even encourages you to go to school. And then give you a staying permit. So why is it that I have to go there and be running from the police all the time when somebody has come to say he's called Saddam Hussein and he has been given a house, he's been given money? So me too, I'll go and say, Idi Amin is my is my brother. Yeah. Oh, when you say you are connected to some confusion in some place, Castro or Venezuela, someone, hey, the Boko Haram. Yeah, all the girls that Boko Haram arrested, you wanted to run away. They give you a nice house, they give you money. They help you to go to school. They help you to get a profession. I tell you. You look so nice. So you realize that, these white people, when I come and say my name is Dwight Redmond, I came from Guyana, I just want to experience American life. They say, go back. You have to come and stay here and eat. Go back. And they will send you back. So you have to go back. And how Dwight is big and tall like that. You know, the Muslims, they have these big, big and tall people. So you go there and say, you are from Iran. And you were working in the nuclear energy department. You are the physicist. You have all the formulas for the atomic bomb. And they are looking for you to kill you. Hey! They will give you nice. They will give you house. Everything they will give to you. So I remember a man, and a big man. Big man. He was, in those days, he was big. He's still bigger now. He went to Ghana and married a nice little girl. And then he, even though he was working in Holland, he's lived in Holland for so many years. So he processed his papers to get a girl to come. Hey! The people said they won't let her come. He fought. He went through lawyers. It wasn't working. So one day he went to Ghana. And then he went to bribe the immigration officers. Bribe the airport staff. And they just, when the lady has her passport, when she's coming, they look somewhere like that. And the girl will pass. That's how they do it. Before you realize you're in the plane. Yeah. And then she appeared in a white man country in Amsterdam. When she came, and the man took her to the immigration and said, this is my wife, she has come. They look at her passport and they stamped. Accepted. Staying permit. The girl that this man has been trying to officially process her documents, they refused her. Now she used the backtrack. And when she got to the country, it's as if nothing has ever happened before. Who lives there? Which invisible enemy lives there? I said, which invisible enemy lives there? It's the devil. It's the devil. I remember when I went there, the reason why I say God loves me, when I went there, the plan was for me to marry my sister. People marry their sisters all the time. People marry their mothers and their aunties all the time. You see, wedding, you have to go to the GRO, and then you and your auntie, and then they say, they say, what's your name again? Phoebe, what? Do you take this man as your wedded? They say, yes. They say, you may kiss your bride. You say, there's the only marriage that people don't kiss. They hug. Because you can't kiss your auntie. You may kiss your bride. And then they'll hug. And the white man is wondering, why this couple didn't kiss? What kind of love is this? Because when a white man is going to marry, you see all the things around it. This one is you and she. No witness. Alone. And then you wear some shirt and you wear some. You may kiss your bride. You look at your auntie and say, oh Lord God Almighty, please help me. Don't let me kiss me, auntie. Oh Lord. You either give a peck, maybe you give a peck like that. And the white man sits down and wonders, why they ain't kissing? We kiss when we go home. So then they started investigating. So what they do is that after they come to your house to see whether you are living together. And sometimes if it's not so, you better do some little kissing pictures and put it on the wall. You holding hands, you hugging up. Take pictures and you put it in the hall. When the white man comes to the house, he sees the pictures. He says, okay, thank you very much. He rises and says, yeah, they are married. So it's like you always have to deceive. You always have to lie. Because if you go and say, you know what, I'm a strong man. I went to school. I have this skill. I want to live here. I want to work. Please give me stay permit. They'll say, police! You say, before you say Jack Robinson, you'll be in your country. There's a story of this gentleman. He was arrested, I think, three times. He was arrested first time handcuffed, sent back to Africa. When he was going, he told the policeman, I'll come back. No, he's terminated. I'll be back. He came back. Then I think he was working somewhere without, you know, staying permit, and the police stormed the place and they arrested him. And one of them recognized him. He says, I told you I'll come back. They sent them. And he said, I'll be back. I tell you, the guy came back about 3 times until he was able to settle in the country. Wow. Oh, cry. Another guy like that. God was trying to send him back. Because they arrested him the first time. They handcuffed him. He was still in the police vehicle. And on their way to the police station, I think they stopped to check on another case. This was a Christian brother. Had a nice future in Ghana. But he just gave that up to come to Europe. So he was handcuffed. When they left him, they went to check whatever case. Interestingly, he just took his hands out of the handcuff. He opened the car and he left. The second one, I think that he was also working somewhere. They came to control and then he didn't have... They arrested him. And they something happened. I think they arrested him after a few weeks. They left him. And the third one, when they arrested him, they sent him to Ghana. On his plane, on the flight back to Ghana, he sat next to a lady. And they were talking. And the lady said, I'm looking for somebody to employ. She says she's a businesswoman. And she's fed up of flying all over the world. She's looking for a faithful person who'll be flying and go and meet the companies and the casted people for her. Hey, that guy became rich. The next time I saw that guy in Europe, he was a big man. He had come to buy this load container for some 2 weeks and going back. He became a very rich guy. This one's like God said, I want you to go back. It's like God wants him to go back, but he didn't want to go back. So it's a country where you live, you say all kinds of things. Lies. I used to work with somebody's passport. I think the guy's name was what? Charles or something like that. So sometimes when you're walking through town, you see a colleague is calling you, Charles, and you don't know it's you they're calling. Because you're not called Charles. And then when you go to work the evening, they'll say, but Charles, I was calling you, I met you. I said, me? You over there? Then you realize, your real name is Collins, but you're also Charles. I tell you. And if you work in the same place with somebody who knows you well, they better don't call you by your name, Collins. Because somebody says, well, what did you just call him? It's my name. And that's the same thing that we used to say. That's, this is the name I use. You know, in Africa, we have these names at home. I'm called Collins at home, but when I go to school, I'm called Charles. That's my name in the passport. But Collins is a name that we use at home. It's a house name. Because if you don't become smart, some boss man will pick it up. Because it's not your usual thing. You normally you give yourself away. You just lose guard and you call yourself by what's the name you just used? I tell you, people have used their sister's passport to look for job. Yeah, they go, they put a female passport there. The people don't see that it's a girl picture there. I tell you, people used to use, if it's Esther, people used to use Esther. So it's a man, it's called Esther. I tell you. It is like, by all means, I have to lie to find my, they say, Esther. So Esther, where I come from, it's a, how do you call it? It's a unisex. Those were the days when people used to take out people's picture out of the passport and replace it. Yeah, the job agencies didn't have the technique to identify the passports that the pictures have been changed. So once you get it, once somebody sells you a passport and it's valid and it's a female name, Esther Chabrol, you are somewhere. There's a permit inside for 2 years. Hey, you pay. You take your, you put your, when you go, you say, what's your name? Esther? I'm saying, yeah. Where I come from, it's unisex. We call female Esther, male Esther. Vivian is one. Yeah. Adam is also number. Also, some Adam is used for male or female. Yeah. Adam, yeah. Like Pastor Ralph's son, Adam. The name Adam is a faith, a girl faith, boy faith. I've never seen boy faith before. Yeah, no, but it's true. You have names that are unisex. So when I come with a passport and you see my picture and the name is Esther. Everett, okay. Hey, so you see that when you live your life in a particular place, it's full of lies. Full of lies. Deception. We get on board the bus, we don't pay. And when you see conductors coming there, you jump out. When you don't have money, you take your friend's bus pass. I mean, I used to use my sister's bus pass all the time. It's even now, when I go to London, my sister will try to give me her Oyster card. I'm a bishop now. Let me take your husband's own. At least that's what I said. He's not going. I mean, he has a monthly bank bus pass. He's home. And I want to just go to town. I want to go to the shopping center and do something. So the card is there. It has his picture. It has the everything. So you just touch the door of the bus and then you go. When you touch, the machine can't say use a girl or use a boy, right? So if it's a girl all you have, it's not a problem. So people use it. Once you touch and the door opens, you go. But that's how people live their life. If the inspectors come and they say, where's your card? You bring it out. So this was when I was younger. Hey, lies and deception. I tell you. So when you'll be surprised what people say. The person will say, when I was younger, I had a lot of hair. I had long hair. It's now that I've cut my hair, that's why I look like a boy. But in those days, I used to look like a girl. You have to deceive. You have to lie. And you see, in that environment, even though things look nice, nice cars, nice streets, nice roads, nice fashion, everything, you will think that Satan is not there. Satan lives there proper. So lying and deception are signs, symptoms of demonic presence. Let's take number two and then we close. Murder. Murder. Same verse, John 8:44. He says, he was a murderer from the beginning. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, when you hear, people don't come to Guyana from America and this place because they say when they come here, they'll kill them. When you see a lot of bloodshed, a lot of killing, it's not the people who are bad. Is the presence of evil spirits. I tell you. Now, coming from having a Ghanaian background, I can tell you that there are some particular roads in my country where I was born that every year, this particular spot, there is always a car accident. It's like the Linden Highway. Let me say that. That way you understand that better. The Linden Highway is a place where people die almost all the time. You know why? There's some things on the way. That was the highway that they were trying to kill me. Yeah. In the presence of devils. People, when have you not had an accident on the Linden Highway? Where? If I went, when we go there for church meetings and all of that, and we are coming late in the night, people will ask, are you going to town? I say, yeah. At this hour? I say, yeah. Why? Is it Jumbi on the way? It's all the places dangerous, this place is dark. And so? Yeah, but I can't get light. But you see, people are scared of the road because they know what can happen there. Technically, you know that there's some invisible enemies on the road. Especially making the place look also so dark. Yeah, there's a reason why they're not putting lights there. A white man will avoid all these problems by putting light. accidents will finish. Because demons don't like the light. They'll move away. Now we are giving more advantage, giving more chance to these demons, these invisible enemies, by also allowing the place to be as dark as ever. Hey, and murders. When you see people killing people, people like this guy who shot his girlfriend or something, 13 bullets to the chest and one to the head. You think it's just bad? Is it jealousy? It's the when you see murders, when you see murders, the Bible says he was a murderer from the beginning. He's the one who has propagated killing people. May I tell you? You see people go to Kaijo Falls and they jump. Hey! I mean, what a place to die. I'm sure when they jump, then they realize that they've jumped. When they are jumping, they don't know, you know. And as they are coming, they say, oh my God! I want to go back. You can't go back. You think about it. You think about it. Why would somebody in their right senses jump? I mean, that means that something, there's an invisible enemy that has taken over the person's life. You see people drinking poison, people killing themselves, suicide, people drinking. I mean, I don't know which part. Is it number two? When we are going to Samaria, canal number two. So you see people lying on the roadside all the time. My first time was in Eccles. I used to live in Eccles. I was driving home, and in the middle of the road, this guy was in the middle of the road. Ah! When I got there, I stopped. I was panicking. I looked around. I saw everybody just walking and minding their business. And I said, something is not right. I didn't know. I was thinking somebody's dead in the middle of the road. A car has knocked the person down. The person is dying, bleeding, and all of that. And people were just passing. Then I catch myself and I said, it is that the guy is breathing. I looked around. It looks like I was rather the one who's the stranger. Yeah. So I just continued driving by the business. Those things, when you see those, it's the presence of evil spirits. Almost all the time you hear something about death. Somebody kills somebody. Somebody shoots somebody. Like, for example, in the year, is it 2002, 2003, this jailbreak, the phantom days. Hey, the devil was on vacation. He came here for vacation, I tell you. I mean, you just die. People died. Then now they want to go into that fine man and all these people, Lindo Creek, Batica Massacre, Lusigna Massacre, all these things are devils that are thirsty to drink blood. When you see murders, happening, people killing people, you should know that the evil power, the invisible enemy that you are looking for that you can't see, is around. Why will people kill each other? The Second World War, about 50 million people or something died. Jews, 6 million Jews were killed. What do you think was operating? Satan himself, yeah. Right at our backyard, Jim Jones brought people here and made them drink a Kool-Aid or something like that. Drank and died. When you see those things, don't say somebody is wicked. Don't say somebody is deceptive. Don't say somebody is bad. It is the invisible enemy that we don't see. He is the one who has showed up. You look at it. Two people say they love each other. A few years. The one person takes a cutlass and chop the other. You see, you know what the white man will say? The white man will say, psychological. Even the guy, the soldier man who they are trying to bring in that thing. It's a psychological. The wise man has a very nice way of encouraging foolish things. I see the guy, he's lucky he's not in the country I was born. He's coming from court one day and he'll die. The girl's brothers, the girl's father, the girl's uncles, They will organize. They will organize for your burial, death and resurrection, if possible. I tell you. Yeah. It's the white people who don't have anything to say. It's psychological. Black people, there's nothing psychological. Oh, you know, black people, we don't do psychological. Oh, slap you, your psychological will come out of your head right now. Give you a big slap. You say, yes, sir, yes, sir. I'm here. I understand what you're saying. Yes, I follow. I agree. These white people, they do all these crazy things. They kill school children and all of that. And they say, psychology, take them to some psychologist. Here, do we have those facilities? It's babies they take you to. I'm sure after a few years, they leave you and they say, he looks to be stable. When you see those wicked things happening, you should know that an invisible enemy is there. Amen. Please stand to your feet. My time is up. A long time ago. Hallelujah. Wow. I see people, they want to kill themselves. They take razor blade and they cut. All you should say is, Satan, get thee out. That's what, you should just rebuke the devil. I see those things, I'll kill myself. You see, the white people say, you know, they call about hostage negotiation people. These police and this special, see somebody standing on the top of a building. They say, hi. No. Wow, look at your family. They love you. We black people say, Satan, hello. Hello, Satan. There's no negotiating. You just command and rebuke the devil out of the person's life. The white people are very deceiving, you know. Everything, they make it look as if it's okay. The invisible enemy is at work. Amen. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes. I will trust you and obey. When your spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree, and my answer will be yes. Father, tonight, thank you for speaking to us. Our lives are not the same again, in Jesus' name. Amen. You're here tonight, you're not saved, you're not born again. You don't want to go home without giving your life, your heart to Jesus. Bishop, please pray with me. I want to be born again. I need Jesus. I want Jesus. I don't want to die and go to hell. Hell is a place where Satan is going. You don't want to go with Satan to hell. You want to say, I want to choose heaven tonight. If you're here like that, I want to pray with you. Please pray with me. Your right hand up high. All you have to do is just lift up your right hand. I'll see it and I'll pray with you. Bishop, pray for me. I need Jesus. I want Jesus. I want to go to heaven when I die. Right now, as I'm standing here, I'm not born again. I've never given my heart to Jesus before. You want to do that tonight? You want to do that tonight? Just your right hand up high. I'll pray with you wherever you are. Don't be shy. Don't be scared. Don't be afraid. Bishop, please pray for me. God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. I want to give my heart to Jesus. I'm not sure whether I'll go to heaven or hell. I want to leave the service tonight. Sure. Peace in my heart and my relationship with God fixed. Your right hand up high. God bless you. I see that hand also. God bless you. If you lifted up your hand, I want to ask you to please come to the front. Come. Come. You lifted up your hand. The two gentlemen at the back. God bless you. Clap for them as they come. Oh, clap until they come. Oh, clap. Two big men, meaty men are giving their life to Christ. God bless you, sir. God bless you. God bless you, sir. You're welcome. And let him have his way. Close your eyes with me. Those of you have come to the front. You want to come quickly. The Bible says you believe with your heart, and with your mouth confession is made unto salvation. So I want to just pray a prayer. I want you to pray this prayer with me. Pray it from the bottom of your heart. Make it your own prayer. And it is on this prayer that your salvation is going to be given. So pray with me, church, join in as we pray together. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with my heart, and I confess with my mouth that Jesus died for me. I believe God raised Jesus from the dead. I believe Jesus is alive right now. I open my heart and I invite Jesus Christ to come into my heart, to be my master and my savior. Tonight, I surrender my life to Jesus. I say Jesus is my savior. I declare Jesus as my master. And I declare Jesus as my Lord. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. I believe that by this prayer, I am born again. My name is written in the book of life. And I am a child of God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Father, let your mighty hand be upon these two gentlemen. Let them follow you. Let them walk with you for the rest of their days. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful teaching of God's Word. For booking and more information on the ministry of Bishop Collins, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at shepherdhousegy@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.shepherdhouseinternational.org. God richly bless you.